The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter number 2, text number 39. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on September 24th, 2017, in Mayapur, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Iti jata sunirveda chana Sangena Sadushu Ganga Dvaram Upeyaya Mukta Sarva Anubandana Iti Jata Sanirveda Chanda Sangena Sadushu Gangadvaram Upeyaya Mukta Sarvanubandana Iti Jatasya Nirveda Chanda Sangena Sadushu Gangadvaram Upeyaya Mukta Sarvanubandhana Iti Thus Jatasya Nirveda Ajamil, who had become detached from the material conception of life, Channasangena by a moment's association, Sadushu with devotees, Gangadvaram to Haridwar, Haridwara, the doorway to Hari, because the Ganges begins there. Haridwar is also called Gangadvara. Upeyaya went Mukta, being freed from Sarva Anubandhanaha, all kinds of material bondage. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Because of a moment's association with devotees, the Vishnudutas, Ajamil detached himself from the material conception of life with determination. Thus freed from all material attraction, he immediately started for Haridwar. Purport. The word Mukta Sarvanubandhanaha indicates that after this incident, Ajamil, not caring for his wife and children, went straight to Haridwar for further advancement in his spiritual life. Our Krishna consciousness movement now has centers in Vrindavan and Navadvip, so that those who want to live a retired life, whether they be devotees or not, can go there with determination, give up the bodily concept of life. One is welcome to live in those holy places for the rest of his life in order to achieve the highest success by the very simple method of chanting the holy name of the Lord and taking prasad. Thus one may return home back to Godhead. We do not have a center in Haridwar, but Vrindavan and Sridham Mayapur are better for devotees than any other places. The Chaitanya Chandradaya Temple offers one a good opportunity to associate with devotees. Let us all take advantage of this opportunity. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tarine. Well, we're following Prabhupada's instructions, isn't it nice? He says, this temple gives a good opportunity to associate with devotees, so let us all take advantage of this opportunity. So now, here we are, following Prabhupada's instruction to come to Mayapur and associate with devotees. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Kai, Lavamatta Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hai. This is how powerful devotee association is. This is actually the point of this verse also. It's described in that verse, Lavamatta Sadhu Sangha. Lavamatta means 1/11th of a second. If you can imagine how small of a time that is. 1001, that's a second. Divide that into 11th. It's very small amount of time. That much association with a sadhu can give all perfection. Sarva siddhi hoi. All perfection can be given. But to speak of, you can spend a whole second with a sadhu, or a whole minute, or how about a whole hour, or a whole day, or a whole week, you see? So here we are for a whole week in Mayapur. Can you imagine? How many lava mantras are there in 1 week? It'd be interesting to calculate. If there's 11 in each second, and that'd be, 60 times 11. You know, you can calculate how many lava mantras there are in 1 week. And it's just incredible the mercy we're getting here, you see. So this was what happened to Ajamil. He associated with the Vishnu Dutas, the messengers of Lord Vishnu. And by that association, he became completely free of all material contamination. That's how many minutes it is? There's 110,880 lava mantras in 1 week. So you can imagine we're getting 110,000 lava mantras in this week here in Mayapur, and that each one of them is potent enough to deliver you from material existence. So you have 110,000 opportunities. You say, well, I've really been in Maya, you know, kind of overslept the other day, overate, I got motored out. But you have many more lava mantras awaiting you. It's not over yet, you see. If you haven't become liberated yet, you still have some time. So that's the great power of this place. That one lava mantra is all you need. So how do we capitalize on that? You see, it's a very important thing. How do we capitalize on this devotee association? I remember when I joined, I've told this many times, but I can never tire of telling this story, because when I joined, when the temple president came down to visit us in Austin from Dallas, and he said, it's Maya to love the devotees. You're only supposed to love Krishna. Of course, if you're trying to have material sense gratification, that's different. But I was going, what? You can't love devotees? I was a young devotee. I couldn't say anything, you know. He was a big Brahmana temple president. What could I say? You know, keep your mouth shut, right? But then later on, a few years later, a book came out. Actually, the book had not been released, but somehow I got an advance copy, a Xerox copy of a book called The Nectar of Instruction. It talked about the 6 loving exchanges between devotees. I said, yeah, I knew I was right. You're supposed to love devotees. Loving exchanges, you see. This association with devotees, this is the key, you see. That lava mantra, that 1/11th of a second, will be potent if you actually engage in loving exchanges with devotees. You got to get off your high, as we say in English, your high horse, your false ego. You know, take your little false ego cap and throw it in the garbage can, you know. You got to become humble, you know. When you're in a mood of humble mood, you see, then you can actually associate with devotees nicely. You can serve them. You can accept their service. Stivit Prasadam from them. Accept Prasadam from them. Inquire from them. Open your heart up when they want to. Open your mind when they want to reveal their heart to you in this way. So if we take full advantage of the sadhu sangha, then we can actually achieve same thing that Ajami achieved, liberation from material existence. This is actually, someone may say, an outsider may say, what's liberation from material existence? What are you people talking about? I want to make money. I want to get a big fancy car, a nice house. What are you talking about, freedom from material desires? Are you people crazy? And see, that's what a materialist would think. He'd pop into this lecture, you know, by chance. But the thing is, we have to understand this material existence is just a covering of the actual self, you see. Of the actual reality. The material self is a covering of the actual self. This place is the temporary place. We want a permanent shelter. That's our hearts want a permanent shelter. This material world does not give a permanent shelter. You make a very nice sandcastle down at the beach, you see. Beautiful sandcastle with so many rooms and towers and amazing sandcastle. People do that sometimes. But then the tide comes in and it's washed away, you see. So this whole material civilization is simply a sandcastle civilization. It's washed away by the tide of the times. It's all washed away. This huge civilization, you see. The Mughal Empire came and went. The Roman Empire came and went. The Greek Empire came and went, you see. So many empires have come. The Spanish Empire came and went. The British Empire, now they say the sun never prints on the British Empire. Now it hardly even rises on the British Empire. You see. Now America is some big, now China may bump out America, become the leading. So it's just, these things are always coming and going, you see. So one who takes shelter of Krishna, you see, he's properly situated. There's a whole art of taking shelter of Krishna, and this art we have to learn. It's not just being a member of a movement, you know. Being a good member of the movement, we have to do that, of course, associate properly. But you have to learn how to do your own internal cultivation as well. It's very important. Sometimes devotees don't really know how to do that, how to do their own internal cultivation of Krishna consciousness. You have to become a sadhu. Each one of us has to become a sadhu, you see. You're either a laghu or a sadhu, you see. A lightweight or a heavyweight. We have to become spiritual heavyweights, each one of us, you see. It's a very nice verse. As I was going to the temple today, I was reading some amazing verses on my smartphone, and we're going to the temple. 5:21 Bhagavad Gita is amazing, and 5:20 also. 5:21 Payas Varshesha Sakbatmang Vindat Yatmaniyat Sukham Sabrahma Yoga Yuktavna Sukham Akshayamashnute. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure. But he is always in trance, relishing the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness, for he always concentrates on the Supreme. That's a very powerful verse that we can utilize to internalize our consciousness. You see, the more you internalize your consciousness, the more you eternalize your consciousness. You see what I'm saying? This external consciousness means you're temporalizing. Maybe that is a bona fide one. The more your consciousness is external, that's temporary. The more you can internalize your consciousness, that's eternalizing it, you see. When you can tune into your eternal nature, that I'm not this body, I'm an eternal, I actually am one of Krishna's associates from the spiritual world. What am I doing here trying to enjoy separately from Krishna? Am I an idiot? Yes, or what? Am I what kind of idiot am I? There was even a song, remember, a musical that said, what kind of fool am I? There was a song that went, what kind of fool am I? That's our position. We're just really fools trying to enjoy this material world. So time to wise up, become sober, and realize the castle's made of sand and washed into the sea. You see? I'm not this body, I'm an eternal spiritual being. I have to learn how to relish the pleasure within. What is that pleasure? It's my relationship with Krishna, my relationship with my guru, my relationship with siksha gurus, my relationship with the devotees. This is my life, you see. We have to learn to tune into them. Just like I still remember my Vartma Pradarshaka Guru, His Holiness Vishnu Jana Swami. This is like, 46 years ago, you know. But still, he's very dear in my heart, sitting very dearly in my heart. Prabhupada told me, he said, you have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnu Jana Swami. So you think I'm going to forget about him? You see? He is a very dear place in my heart. And so many devotees, like my, today I had a wonderful embrace with my dear Godver Pancharatna Prabhu. So all these relationships we have, loving relationships we have with devotees, are very important. In fact, you can't really love Krishna if you don't love the devotees. Don't try to jump over the head of the devotees and just love Krishna. Doesn't work. You have to learn, you have to love Krishna through loving his representatives, and then your love for Krishna will actually manifest. Prabhupada used to quote this. He said, if you love me, love my dog. The spiritual master is the dog of God. So if you actually love God, you have to love the dog. And see, if you don't love the dog of God, God will never accept. You see. Just like your neighbor, he's out walking his dog and says, I really hate your dog, you know. Well, you have a good relationship with your neighbor if you hate his dog. You see. Oh, your dog is so nice. You see, you appreciate the dog. Oh, you're a very good friend and you like my dog, you see. So in the same way, one has to love the spiritual master. One has to love the devotees, you see. By loving guru and loving devotees, and Krishna says, oh, you're very good. You love my representatives, and you're very good. You're very, very good, you see. So this way you have to learn how to attract Krishna, you see. This is a very important thing. The way you attract Krishna is become attracted to Krishna. Do you think you'll attract Krishna if you're not attracted to Krishna? Krishna won't care. But the more you become attracted to Krishna, Krishna becomes attracted to you. Oh, just see this devotee. How much he is attracted to me, how much he is attracted to his spiritual master, how much he's attracted to the devotees. You see, Krishna sees everything. Krishna knows every thought in your brain. You are never separated from Krishna for a moment. You know that? Krishna is with you intimately at every minute. He observes everything you're thinking about, everything you say, everything you do. Krishna is constantly aware of everything you're doing at every minute. You actually have Krishna's constant association for all of eternity. The difficulty is we're so dull, we can't understand that. We can't appreciate it. We don't feel the connection. It's dull-mindedness. So one has to take advantage of the process of sadhana bhakti given by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and those who purely teach and preach on his behalf. One has to take advantage of this science because this is a this is a curative method for a person who is insane, how to bring him back to sanity. We're actually insane people. We're crazy. We're like psychotics, actually. We're a bunch of psychotics here. So ISKCON's kind of like an insane asylum in one sense. That's why so many crazy things go on even in ISKCON sometimes, an insane asylum. It's a place, the spiritual master is a psychiatrist, you see. And the senior devotees, they're the psychiatrist. To bring us out of our craziness. You see. We bring all these crazies into ISKCON and try to make them sane. That's the whole point. Bring all the crazies in, you see. I know I was very crazy myself. And I still think I'm pretty crazy, but you should have seen me in the old days, young when I was young Brahmachari, 46 years ago. Wow. And of course I was sincere. So because of that, I'm still here. If you want to, that's a nice thing to remember. If you're sincere, you'll stay here. You see, those who are not sincere, who come from ulterior motives, they come and they go. They come here, they try to get something out of ISKCON for their sense gratification, subtle or gross. If they don't get it, they go away. You see, but those who are sincere They're still here, you see. I was crazy, I admit. I was very wild, crazy brahmachari in my younger days. But I was sincere. Prabhupada noted me for my sincerity. He even told me, he said, I can see you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy. He said, continue enthusiastically as you were doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So I decided to capitalize that instruction. Wow. Prabhupada gave me a blessing. He said that if I maintained my sincerity, my enthusiasm, I would get Krishna's blessing. So I have always been enthusiastic for 46 years, and actually getting more enthusiastic. I'm more enthusiastic. Because Krishna consciousness is ever increasing. So we should take full advantage of this process. We should learn how to connect with Srila Prabhupada. It's very important to connect with the mood and the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. There's a problem in ISKCON nowadays. So many devotees come and they're not oftentimes not that connected with Prabhupada's teachings. It's like a nouveau ISKCON, or like something called MISKCON. Just like when I joined, Prabhupada was our hero. I mean, Prabhupada was a hero for all of us. Each one of us had a hero, and his name was Srila Prabhupada. We could see him, we could write letters to him, we could sit down in his lotus feet, we could ask him questions, we could go on morning walks with him. You know what I mean? It was really, you could be with him, you could talk to him. He was your father, and he was just full of loving affection for you. It was an amazing time. So we all wanted to be like Prabhupada, you know. He was our hero. He was our role model of what it means to be a devotee. Prabhupada was the standard, you see, not something else, you see. So when I joined, I had an earring, you see. You can even see my pierced ear. Still got a pierce. You can see the pierce? Yeah. I still got a hole in my right earlobe from when I was a hippie, you know, hippie earring. So I was attached to my earring. The buddy said, that's my bhakti, Steve. You have to give that up. I was so attached, I said, well, I put a picture of Lord Chaitanya on the earring, so they let me keep it. I was really attached to my earring. But after a while, I realized, and I just threw it away, I guess. Put it in the garbage can. What is this thing? Nonsense earring. You don't need an earring to go back to Godhead. But now we see earrings are a new fashion. And even eyebrow rings. I saw a man with an eyebrow ring yesterday. Eyebrow rings and tattoos. You know, in other words, nowadays, the more you have earrings, the more you have nose rings, earrings, eyebrow rings, and tattoos, you're really cool. That's becoming like a new standard among certain circles within our society, you know. But I just go, oh my God. And the beards, yeah, the beards. That's a big thing, the beards. Yes, I'm bearded. You see, I'm showing off my masculinity. Yes, I have a beard. But you know what Prabhupada said? Prabhupada said, clean shaven. Prabhupada commented about Advaita Acharya had a beard. See, one may think, well, Advaita Acharya had one, so it's okay. Prabhupada said that Lord Chaitanya wanted all of his followers clean shaven. He didn't like Advaita Acharya's beard, but he couldn't say anything because he was a superior. So, you know, you can think about it. I'm happy that my disciples don't keep on keeping the beards. I thank you all for that. Of course, the ladies, they can't do it anyway. But I'm very happy you all are keeping Prabhupada's standard. Even, I remember one of my godbrothers, he was he was really puffed up, actually he fell down. He was the first one I ever heard criticize the GBC. There's a saying in English, if you have a chip on your shoulder attitude, it means a very negative attitude. It's called a chip on the shoulder attitude. So he said, GBC means got a big chip. He was really, and he's criticized, I'm shocked there was somebody criticizing the GBC, walking around saying the GBC means got a big chip. So that boy didn't last long. But he went to meet Prabhupada one time with a mustache, at a darshan. And Prabhupada asked him about this mustache. He said, Prabhupada, you had one when you were a householder. Prabhupada said that was before my diksha. There's a picture of Prabhupada as a householder, you know, with mustache. It's in the old Bhagavatam that was printed in India. But Prabhupada, that was, so before diksha, that's one thing. But after diksha, the standard is clean-shaven by Giriman Prabhupada. So when I come here, I feel a little bit unhappy when I see that many devotees are not properly trained in Krishna consciousness, how to even follow Prabhupada's instructions. We have a big growing movement, but instead of the Hare Krishnas, it's becoming the Hare Krishnas. Sometimes it looks like that. So I just want you all to understand the standard is no clean shaven, that's the standard. So please maintain that. Someone say, well, sure, in Chautra Masha, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati had beard, and that's true. But that's, if you actually, but real Chautra Masha, if you want to do that standard of growing your beard out and for observing Chautra Masha, you have to do the full standard. The full standard is you only eat khichdi off the floor. You get 5 mouthfuls of khichdi off the floor once a day, and that's it. You take khichdi and you put it on the floor, and you get down and eat like a dog off the floor. 5 mouthfuls a day. That's Chautra Masha if you wanted to observe Chautra Masha and grow a beard. And you may get khichdi in your beard, but but that's what it means to observe Chautra Masha, you know. I said, well, I'm doing it for Chautra Masha. And then after Chautra Masha, they keep it. Well, it's really nice, I'm going to go. So anyway, we're going to Chautra Masha in Vrindavan. You'll see many devotees bearded. So I just want you all to know, please shave every day. It's Prabhupada's standard. Even 2 godbrothers, 2 sannyasis, they were doing Chautra Masha with the beards. Prabhupada didn't like it. He saw those beards, and he said it looked scruffy. They immediately shaved them. The Guru Kripa Maharaj and Jasodhananda Maharaj were growing beards for Chautra Masha. Prabhupada didn't like it. They immediately shaved them, faces them. And now you see a Guru Kripa Prabhu. He fell down from sannyas. He's a dedicated householder now. He doesn't keep a beard during Chautra Masha. You'll see him in Vrindavan. He doesn't keep a beard. So, yeah, these are important things. If you want to get that actual internal awakening, you see, you have to follow the regulated principles. This Sahaja Vaishnavism, you know, I'm going to be cool, you know. With another thing is the Brahmin thread around the wrist, that's a big thing now. Many devotees, they take the deity, Prasadam, Brahmin thread and wear it on the wrist. Prabhupada saw that in Vrindavan. He asked the temple president, what is this? He said, oh, they're wearing the Brahmin thread of the deity, it's Prasadam around the wrist. Prabhupada, stop this. So we have to learn what Prabhupada actually said, what the standards are. We don't wear deity threads around our wrist. We don't wear the beard. The earrings, Prabhupada didn't have earrings. Why do we have to have earrings? You see, nose rings, earrings, toe rings, eyebrow rings. Why don't we just develop love of God? Do something unique and develop pure love of God. Why don't we put our energy into pure love of God instead of tattoos and earrings and nose rings? I can guarantee if you do that, you'll become a living embodiment of that verse I just quoted. Bayas prasheshtra saktatma vindat yatmaniyat sukam sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukam akshayamashnute. You see. Because a liberated person is not attracted to material sense gratification, but he's always in transcendental bliss, relishing the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness, for he always concentrates on the Supreme. All you really need is Krishna consciousness. You don't need anything else to be happy. You understand? Some of the girls, there's actually one of our girls to be married, and some of the girls are unhappy because they're not married. Well, you have to depend on Krishna, what can I say? Because ultimately, you're not your body, and you have to just fix yourself in transcendental consciousness. And if Krishna arranges for you to have a husband, then that's all right. And if you have to wait, you have to say whatever Krishna wants is all right. Prabhupada did say that, well, we want all the men to say brahmachari. We want all the girls to get married. This is the dilemma. So, you know, somehow or other it works out in the due course of time. We have to be patient. But the point is you have to find your pleasure within, not on external arrangements. That's how you become happy in Krishna consciousness. You understand that it is that internal relationship with Krishna, that is my happiness, not the external arrangement. You see? Changing ashrams will not make you a pure devotee. It may help, but it's not going to actually bring you to a liberated platform. What brings you to a liberated platform is that determination that I must become the pure devotee of Krishna. That determination we must all have. There's a nice saying in the Chinese wisdom, perseverance furthers. So for those of you who are not English speakers, perseverance means to very determinedly engage in an activity through thick and thin. No matter what happens, you always persevere. You just keep going and going and going, and nothing ever stops you. That's called perseverance. So furthers means, it's a very nice, Chinese is very succinct sometimes. Perseverance furthers is the saying. That means you make progress by persevering. You understand what your goal is, to become the pure devotee of Krishna, and you stick to that goal no matter what. Through thick and thin, through happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor, poverty and wealth, sickness and health, old age and young age, it doesn't matter. In all conditions, you simply stick, I must become the pure devotee of Krishna right now. Not next year, not next week, not tomorrow, not an hour from now. I must now become the pure devotee of Krishna, my dear Lord. Please bless me. I can enter that mood of pure bhakti right now. Why so focused on the now? Because you can die at any minute, isn't it? Time and tide wait for no man. When it's time for your death, nothing can postpone it. So you have to be in the mood of pure, hankering for that pure bhakti right now. You have to train yourself right now. At every moment, be here now. At every moment, be focused on awakening pure love of Godhead within your heart. The way you hear the classes, the way you preach, the way you pray, the way you do your service, the consciousness you wake up in the morning, even when you go to pass stool or urine, what is your consciousness? You have to always maintain that consciousness of hankering for pure bhakti. And what is the ideal prayer for achieving pure bhakti? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I've talked long enough here, now we can ask for some questions. Yes. When you come to the temple, deities see you, yes. Oh, yes. When they see you with tilak and neck beads and chanting, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna sees you and he's very, very pleased. Yes. Oh, yes. Krishna's heart is dancing in ecstasy to see you all with tilak and neck beads, singing and dancing and offering your obeisances. Krishna derives unlimited happiness to see you all. So that. Next.
On special days like Ekadasi or appearance days, one should stay away from cutting nails or shaving. Is that a standard?
Should you not shave on appearance days? I've never seen that in Prabhupada's books. There's so many. Actually, there is in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. There's so many detailed rules and regulations. So should we follow all these rules and regulations? Not necessarily. The thing is that the time of Lord Chaitanya, the smarta Brahmins were the predominant culture within India. And they had so many rules and regulations. So to give Chaitanyaism legitimacy, we had to have our rules and regulations also. So if Prabhupada didn't tell us to avoid shaving on appearance days and clipping our nails on appearance days, there's no reason that one has to avoid them. No reason one has to avoid them. Even Ekadasi is some some people, Ekadasi is the day when you're supposed to shave. Shave your head every Ekadasi. Prabhupada said every fortnight, that's every 2 weeks. So, yeah, I've never heard that Prabhupada said we had to avoid doing that, so I don't do that. I clip my nails whenever they get long. I shave my face every day. Today I'm late. I was running late from Mangalarti, so I'm going to shave it later in the day. I'm going to shave my head and my face later this afternoon. So, any other questions? Yeah. How can we be sure we're increasing our potential to love Krishna?
We are not misusing our potential love for Krishna, but in this case that we can, for example, we can love someone just to manipulate someone. So how to not misuse our love?
Yes. You have a loving relationship with a devotee, but it's based on sense gratification. You get together and you talk mundane katha. And, you do nonsense together, and obviously it's not right. But you have a relationship where it's based on Krishna. You see, talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, serving Krishna, then it's very good. Machchita madgita prana bhavdiyantak padaspatam katiyantapstintamam yajam chashantita ramanticha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, and their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. Well, do we do that? We're doing it right now. But if we do it, how much do we do that? If we get together, tashanti sabramanti cha. How much we get together and relish Krishna katha, talking with each other, you see. It's very important we learn how to engage in Krishna katha. That's the basis of loving relationship. If there's no Krishna katha, then what kind of relationship is it? You see, one could ask. There should be Krishna katha. Between husband and wife, between brahmacharis to brahmacharis, there should be Krishna katha going on. Otherwise, what kind of relationship is it? You say, well, I'm not so inspired to talk about Krishna. Well, then read from Prabhupada's books and discuss. Prabhupada has powerful katha. Yes.
So, a lot of times when you come to the temple, there's some senior devotee or very nice devotee who approaches us with the book with the intent to distribute it. And I'm already reading something else. I'm not interested right now to buy another book, but I just feel...
He wants to sell a book to you?
Yes. A Vaishnava.
Do you have one of Prabhupada's books? Not necessary. Not necessary. You don't have to buy it.
I fear about Vaishnava Prat against that.
No, you can just say thank you, everybody. I appreciate it, but it's not practical for me right now. Now, you don't have to buy every book. Yeah, all of Prabhupada's books you must have. You should have every householder should have a full set of Prabhupada's books. The Brahmacharis should also in their ashram have a full set of Prabhupada's books available for study. Everyone should have access to a full set of Prabhupada's books. Because actually Prabhupada said, all of my disciples have to read all of my books. Well, I'm not a disciple, I'm a grand disciple. No, that includes the grand disciples are also disciples. You're also Prabhupada disciples. It's a different type. Even when you're a guru and you have disciples, your disciples will also be Prabhupada's disciples. Great grand disciples. You see. So Prabhupada said, all of my disciples have to read all my books. That means you, every one of us, have to read all of my books. Especially brahmacharis have a lot of facility. They should be the first to finish, read all the books. Householders have to go to work, but brahmacharis they go out, they preach and read the whole day. Next.
It's about the ninth offense against the holy name.
Yeah.
Instructing a faithless person about the glory.
Yes.
Of the holy name.
Yes.
Like sometimes I feel that I'm actually committing that offense when I'm book distribution.
Mm-hmm.
Someone and they don't actually believe in Krishna, but then
yeah.
I show them pictures of
yeah.
Who is God?
Yeah.
Jesus is God. And where is the limit?
That's according. You have to. You give it a try. And you see, you're going into the wrong area. You back off a little bit. We should always try. We should always try to present Krishna in full to everyone. much as they can handle. You have to test the waters, that's all. It's like, you know, if the water's, it's like sometimes if the water's too cold, we don't want to jump in, you know. You go for a dip in the lake, it's a little too cold, maybe I'll wait till later in the day when the phone warms it up a little bit. You can test the waters. Definitely you should try. Now, Vishnu Janaswami was expert at presenting Krishna to newcomers. It was amazing. I mean, we would, people, he would just, it was amazing. You go to the, he would just, people would be enchanted just to hear him talking about Krishna. He would say with so much love and feeling, people would just go, he used to say, just give your love to Krishna. It was just amazing how he could, captivate people. Knew nothing about Krishna consciousness, but just meeting him, they became enchanted to hear about Krishna. So you should develop the skill to tell people about Krishna. If it, you have to learn how to do it. It's how you, it's not, Prabhupada wrote me one letter, he said, it's not so much what you say, but how you say it. So if you learn, if you can master the art of saying things in the most pleasing, serene, you know, it's a pleasing way, then you can tell the whole world about Krishna, you see. So develop that art, practice it. And you see they're getting a little, you know, agitated, then you have to back off a little bit. But that means you, doesn't mean we shouldn't preach. Lord Chaitanya said, Jare de katade kahe Krishna upadashamara gaya guru hoyutare desh. Whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, you become guru and deliver the people of this world. So Lord Chaitanya is ordering you to become a guru, to go out and enlighten the whole world about him. So you just have to see how much they can take. It's like, you know, the doctor gives a prescription according to the patient. So you have to be an expert physician. They all need the medicine. Okay, that's understood. You have to see what dose will help this person. See, you can overdose on medicine also. So you have to give them. You have to become expert at understanding that person. What, how much they can take. What dose I can give them? You give the heaviest dose possible, but not too heavy. But actually, guru means heavy. So we're supposed to be heavy. But sometimes you have to be a little bit light also. Prabhupada says, the acharya is strict as a thunderbolt and as soft as a rose. So Vishnu Janaswami is very good at being as soft as a rose. He could even, I remember the way he would talk about Krishna. He had a little baby girl. She heard about Prabhupada, a little baby girl. She'd never seen Prabhupada. She just heard about Prabhupada from Vishnu Janaswami. She would go, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, a little baby girl. So it's a matter of, you know, how you do it. It's a matter of how you do it. But our mission, but Prabhupada sent me one letter. He said, if one is very expert in preaching, you convince even an atheist to purchase these books. So that's expertise you want to develop. They will take, even if an atheist will take the book. You see, that's the expertise you want to develop. Even the most hardcore atheist will be convinced to take the book by your preaching. And then you're really on the right track. Then Prabhupada's potency is flowing through you very well when you can convince an atheist to take the book. Next.
A lot of time when you're talking to somebody, they say that Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam is been written by some human being and not actually the words of God.
Asking what is their proof? How can you prove it? How you can prove it? What is their, ask him what is their proof? Were you there when it was written down? Oh, we? Our proof is that by following this book, you actually enter into the spiritual world. You actually meet God face to face. These teachings are revealed by God. The proof is by following them, you actually find yourself You actually wake up and find yourself in the spiritual world, in the direct contact with God Himself, the source of all existence. You'll have, these books will give you, are mystical, they will give you your own personal experience of God Himself directly. That's the proof. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. You see? They say, well, that pudding's no good. The pudding's no good. Well, have you tried it? No, I'm not going to try it because it's no good. Well, if you tasted it, you would know it's fantastic pudding. But you're not tasting it. That's a, tell them the proof of the pudding is in the eating. That's a good slogan. The proof of the pudding is in the eating because you're not tasting it. Therefore, you don't know it's a fantastic pudding. I've tasted it. I know it's really fantastic. And you're not tasting it, so you think it's poison. So why don't you just taste it? See what you... Give it a try. You've tried everything else, haven't you? Sarah, have you tried everything? The thing is, you have to, the art of debate is you put them on the defensive. You don't have to answer every one of their points. The real thing is you find their weak point and you hammer on it until they're bowing down at your feet and begging for mercy. That's the art of debate. You find their weak point and you... Yeah.
Srila Gurudev, this is similar to the point Mess he was raising. This is similar to the point Mess he was raising. I have been thinking that a big part of my sadhana is book distribution, and there is a difference between going around and telling people, like being a little like vague about the philosophy, like saying some nice things about meditation and spirituality, and like kind of charming them to take the book, and then to actually talk about them directly, about the philosophy, about Krishna consciousness, so that they get home and they open the book, then they're not like, oh, it's about God, and then they close it again. But to actually like sell the book on its own merit.
That sounds pretty good. If you can do that, that's a great success. It's a great success. If you can not only trick them into taking a book, but actually give them a book in such a way they're very eager to go home and study it. That's very good. You can do that. That's a very advanced art of preaching. If you can master that art, then you'll be very successful in your preaching career. Very successful. Jai, anything else? No, ladies, have any questions? Okay, one last question. This will be the last one, okay.
We were discussing the other day how Krishna reacts, like he's a person, he has emotion, how he reacts when a devotee bloops. Like, does he get...
Krishna is hurt. When someone gives up Krishna consciousness, he's very hurt by them. Especially in his mood of Lord, especially Lord Chaitanya is the one who takes up that mood. Krishna is too busy enjoying his pastimes in Vrindavan and Mudsen. But Lord Chaitanya is the one who is greatly lamenting, especially, of course, Krishna also. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. But especially Lord Chaitanya is in that mood of anxiety to see the suffering of the fallen souls. Especially Lord Chaitanya. But Krishna also. But it's especially a rasa of Lord Chaitanya to feel that anguish with the conditioned souls. So we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Prema Nandi.